Robin McCarron.
Breaking news, the rating for Raw is likely to fall at 2.7 or 2.8. Sting versus Flair did a 5.4.
Jeff Hawkins.
This is a joke. I'm going to kick your butt once I get bail. I'm gonna come after you.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
There ain't no stopping us now. We celebrate on the floor. Top down, we're ready to go. To all the people across every nation, turn it up and give me some more. Balloon Guy! To compel a man to furnish funds for the propagation of ideas he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. Thomas Jefferson. Some pretty good stuff this week. Joe Brock, Gable AJ, Asuka Nikki, hell, even TJP and Rich Swann on 205. All that, and that's just WWE. New Japan had two great shows, and TNA Slammiversary is getting quite a bit of praise. This week, Great Balls of Fire, Usos Spitting Fire, and Fire Glows? I had no segue. Quick plug up top, I'm on Wrestling Omokaze on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, talking WWE and the New Japan shows. My improv partner, Brian O'Connell, wrote the SmackDown review over at Up Rocks. I'd appreciate if you go read it. So, all my worlds are now one. Phenomenal. Shake Them Ropes 218 with your host, as always, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
I had a classmate named Brian O'Connell once.
Did you?
I did.
Probably not the same guy.
I would think not, but you never know. You never know. That could be a mystery podcast we start on this show. Brian O'Connell's the same?
No, Brian knows Stroud. He knows Chris True over there, and I know True. I don't know Stroud, but Brian taught him in a workshop once, so he got his chance to write the the thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever the heck it is over there. So no, I'm happy for him. Good for him. Although now it's like, well, he's the wrestling guy of the duo. Great. No, I got to be jealous.
You do. And that's why you added another podcast appearance to your lineup. It's because I have to do more.
I got asked. I can't help it. I got asked. I'll do it.
Because you're the superstar of this group, destined for big and bright things.
Rob, you're the one with the good radio voice. I'm the one that annoys weirdos in St. Louis.
The good radio voice, but no time anymore. Man, this whole getting hitched. 4 weeks from today, I will be Mr. Woman's first name, woman's last name. Can't divulge the personal names and all that.
Did you just mute yourself there?
I did. I kind of censored myself.
Come on, work that Mike Kanellis gimmick.
That's right. I could work the Mike Kanellis gimmick. Probably should. This is coming fast though, man. Man, I'm gonna be married in less than 4 weeks.
Congrats. Well, you know, now you're the grown up of the duo. You know what that means. You gotta keep me in control.
Oh yeah.
You have to adopt me now. Love me, Rob. Love me, Daddy.
Here's the other thing though. Is you're over 18. So really, do I keep you under control or just let you go? Do I just say you're moving out, you're out of here, you're on your own?
No, you should be like my parents and just give up on me totally.
Aw, sadness.
It's like that Carl's Jr. commercial.
We got a little bit of glow to talk about later on, too.
Yeah, well, you have a little bit of glow to talk about.
Speaking of friends of the show, LaToya Ferguson is doing the glow reviews at AV Club. She's been on the show a couple of times. So you can follow her at LaFergs, LaFergs. She's doing those TV reviews episode by episode of Glow at the AV Club. So go check those out. Our reviews will not be as good as hers.
No.
But they are coming later. The bad news, they suck. The good news, they're coming later. We may be joined by a special guest, possibly, to talk about Glow episode one. Possibly, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we do have this Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view to talk later. It is not just Great Balls of Fire, Jeff. It is the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. You have to make sure you are understanding that it's a pay-per-view and not a song.
The first annual Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view.
You think they'll do a second one?
Will there be a second one? That's my question.
That's going up on the poll. That's going to go up on the poll later at Shake Them Ropes. Go vote in the polls.
I have a poll of my own I got to pull up.
Oh, yee. This is not the type of show where that happens, Jeff Hawkins, so you're going to have to keep it in your pants.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Jeff Cobb is the eighth entrant in the 2017 Battle of Los Angeles breaking news here on Shake Them Ropes. Shake Them Ropes episode 218. We have so many episodes. We do. We have so many
episodes. We should probably start this one then.
No? You think so? Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want to get into first? Here's my list of topics. You ran through some of them in the open of the show. We got the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. We have Roderick Strong versus Bobby Roode. We are recording this before NXT airs. We have not seen this match, but we're going to talk about it as if we had anyway. John Cena and Rusev, the showdown. And Cody Rhodes and the New Japan Weekend. Very heavily relating to WWE and the fact that Cody Rhodes was the main eventer on that show. And the best match of the weekend involved a former WWF superstar in the name of Billy Gunn wrestling Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, that didn't happen.
Cody Rhodes was actually in the main event on night one. That did happen. That was a true story. And of course, Billy Gunn in the best match of the weekend. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. What do you want to start with?
I'll start with my poll.
All right.
It's a random thing. I asked because it appears on YouTube. I don't know on the Hulu version yet.
Uh-huh.
That from last night's SmackDown, WWE edited out the Xavier Woods joke.
On YouTube? Because it I will tell you right now, it is still on the Hulu version.
Is it? Okay.
It is still on the Hulu version.
I asked if it was a good move or if it was micromanaging, and, you know, 26% saying cut it out. They cut it out to avoid heat, and 74% said they should have left it in. I'm conflicted because I can understand perfectly why they choose to do that. I'm just not a fan of. I'm not a fan of editing history, anyways. I think you should just leave everything in there, and then, you know, apologize later if you have to. But
The history isn't on WWE television. It's not like what that joke meant. Now here, I guess I should ask you. Because I did watch SmackDown on the Hulu version, and the joke about Xavier Woods being rated R, was that the only reference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was
it.
That was still in. But if you don't know what, you know, that reference is of, I mean, you could watch every hour of WWE TV and still not know what that reference is about. It's not like it was WWE storyline. They're not exactly erasing history.
I know in some ways they're not, but in some ways it's just one of those things that's going to make people more curious if they do. And there'll be random, you know, pirate clips out there going, and then I remember at one point during the pipe bomb era that CM Punk was talking about what happened with Colt Cabana and Zack Ryder and guys like that. And I can't find that clip anymore anywhere. So I don't know. I understand both sides. I understand keeping in. I understand taking it out just to avoid any semblance of blowback. But I thought they may have jumped the gun here.
Okay.
Although that was a nice, you know what, in the corrections and retractions department, I thought that was going to be a cringeworthy segment. I enjoyed the heck out of that.
It did end up being pretty good. I mean, then the Usos went crazy at the end and I couldn't quite understand anything that they were saying. But
yeah. They always had to restart from point one of whatever their next line was going to be.
Yeah, but you know that segment wasn't all for me, so that's completely fine. But even not understanding what they were doing, I mean they got the chance to just go there and spew it for a minute, and it seems like it was a segment that worked. And Wale was a pretty good moderator.
I thought so.
You know he did what a lot of people. In that kind of spot can't do like that crowd. Not a lot of them probably know who Wale is, because he can win a Grammy Award, but that doesn't mean you're super well known. I think a lot of wrestling fans know who Wale is because he's been around wrestling and at events for a long time, but I've never heard a Wale song, or at least I don't know if I have. I'll admit that I've never heard a Wale song. But I at least had heard of him. And what a lot of people do in that situation is they lose the crowd. The crowd's, you know, who are you? We're not going to respond to what you're saying. And Wale just kept going with things. And the crowd, at the end of the day, they weren't like super into him, but that wasn't his job. They at least let him do what he came there to do. And I think he did a good job moderating that rap battle segment. Thought it was a good segment overall.
I'd agree.
It was fun. It was interesting.
And I think the thing that happened was he was controlling the crowd by staying in the flow of the scene as opposed to trying to actually control the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was good stuff. I thought the whole SmackDown show was interesting.
That Gable AJ I thought was Gable fantastic. AJ.
Now Hulu, I don't know if maybe they cut some of it out on Hulu because the match was very short on the Hulu version.
Oh, you know what happened? I bet you what they cut out, because they did one of those things where they went to commercial break and they had the split screen.
Uh-huh.
I bet you they cut out that part.
They did not show the split screen part. That is for sure. Okay. So, and I have the commercial free version of Hulu. So I just, you know, they cut quick to commercial, they come back, and then like 2 minutes later, the match was over. So it was very short. It probably wasn't that short. But it was very short on the on the Hulu version.
You missed the Gable Heat segment, and then AJ kind of coming back and regaining control, and then back from commercial. That's what you missed, and that was very, very good. That's a shame. You and international viewers don't get that either, and that's a problem. I think they need to address that.
Yeah, it's, you know, if I don't complain, I got to, it was a very quick show on Hulu. I think it was only an hour and 10 minutes on the Hulu version. And it goes by very quickly when you're not looking at commercials. I mean, I think I got through the whole entire show in an hour, cause I was watching it with the fiance. She was not a big fan of the John Cena Rusev segment. Let's talk about this John Cena. John Cena's back. He returned, and we got Rusev coming back. Rusev mentions in a promo cutting off John Cena that, you know, he's been sending video messages and they haven't been getting responses. But what I want to talk about, and before I actually get into this, let me see if you may have picked up on something similar. What'd you think about the John Cena return segment with Rusev?
I thought it was underwhelming, mostly because I thought that they were going to promise a match. I thought they were going to blow it off right there, to be honest with you. I thought Rusev was going to come out, they do the big patriotic thing, and then boom, that was it. But there was one moment, I think, in the promo that got brought up in a conversation that where he was saying he was on his last legs or on his last run or whatever. And I'm like, you know, the last run can last 3 years. I don't think he's going to be,
It's been an issue since The Rock. I mean, when John Cena was using all these lines against The Rock, all of a sudden he became The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, right from that moment, he was doing the same exact thing, and people call him a part timer, and he's been fighting, and he's never leaving, even though he left for 3 months and he's left before that. Now he's back. He's going to be on every single show because he's just going out in a blaze of glory. The whole thing is, I'm a WWE all-timer. I'm going to be here for so long, but if I happen to not be, at least you're going to get the best of me. Like, I'm going to be here for a long, long time. So we had a match. What I thought was interesting is, obviously, it's July 4th. It's Independence Day in the U.S. And John Cena is cutting this promo about this is the land of opportunity and everyone gets an opportunity. He's saying all this, and then he goes into the I'm not done yet, no one can beat me, I'm gonna take on all challengers, and Rusev comes out. And I'm thinking, this is a good little segue. Like, Rusev came to America, a land of opportunities. He's looking for opportunities and he's not getting them, so he's gonna take his opportunity. And John Cena says, nuh-uh, that ain't gonna happen. John Cena goes from 2 minutes in saying this is the land of opportunity, this is why people come to America, America's great for this reason, to being the loud American shutting down a foreigner wanting some opportunity and saying, no, you're not going to get any, I'm going to crush you down.
Yeah, but I feel like I've watched this segment like at least six times.
Between these two guys.
Yeah, from the WrestleMania thing to Tribute to the Troops, I think they did a couple times. I mean, this feels like the same Rusev John Cena segment as always. It does, doesn't it? I mean, it being a flag match doesn't, you know, I'm just like, hasn't Rusev had a flag match before also?
With Jack Swagger, one of the best feuds of all time.
That's right.
That feud with Jack Swagger, man, was pretty fantastic.
Are you being facetious?
No, are you kidding me? The feud with Jack Swagger was awesome. Yeah. I was hyped for that match. Jack Swagger never won a single one. Oh, it was great.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely it was. No, it was tremendous, but Jack Swagger never got a victory, and then they went on from it, and it's like, okay, timing sucks because Jack Swagger was in there with Rusev, who they were giving every single push to. I mean, Rusev was the guy. He was the top heel at that time, and they would not let Jack Swagger get anything on him, and Jack Swagger got more over from it. Who would have known that Jack Swagger would be super over from that? And now they're doing the same thing here with John Cena, where it's not going to get a lot of time. It's Battleground. I think it's, what, a month away still? Yeah. So there's, I guess there is a few weeks. July 20. No, it's not. It's July 23rd. It's only like 3 weeks away. mean, this pay-per-view is coming up sooner than everyone might realize. Battleground, though, shaping up to be pretty good. Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton, John Cena, Rusev, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. You got the Usos in the New Day. You're going to have something with American Alpha, it seems, with Chad Gable getting on TV regularly here. This pay-per-view could be really good, too. It was just a very interesting promo. I mean, on Independence Day, the loud American comes back. Rusev, not going to let him take his job. I just thought it was somewhat interesting.
Two quickies before we move off of SmackDown.
Two quickies.
What are we going to do without James Ellsworth for 30 days?
Do you think we are going to be without him for 30 days? Do we get some type of video messages? Do we get some, like they show the tweet videos on the screen? Like, this is what James Ellsworth is doing. Do we get some type of video segments?
I think we get bad comedy with him trying to sneak into the arena in, like, disguises, much like Breezango has been doing.
Right, because I don't think we're going completely Ellsworth free for a month.
Right.
I don't think that's happening.
Can't keep the big hog off TV.
And why would anyone want to?
And the other one, Lana and Tamina. They're going to rebuild her, right? That's the move here. Takes her under the wing and teaches her how to be a diva, or not a diva, but a women's wrestler, so to speak. I mean, that's what seemingly set up to be, I thought.
Yeah, is Tamina the one you really want training you to be a?
I'm not saying that's a great idea. Don't read that much into it. I'm asking what the angle is here. You think
SmackDown so desperate for women superstars that they're gonna teach Lana from scratch when you got Asuka down there? You got Nikki Cross. That Asuka and Nikki Cross match, by the way, on NXT. Fantastic main event. That was the best women's wrestling main event of the week, because every show was main evented by the women's division. And that was excellent.
I want 20 more of those with different stipulations and folding in various horsewomen in combination. That thing was fantastic.
And now we got a gimmick going on with Asuka. Not sure if she's going to be back on NXT. Like, she's tweeting out, I'm not going to be there until they find me a good challenger. Are they doing something more with Asuka? Are we just waiting for Ember Moon to be that challenger, or could something else be going on here?
It's the Ember Moon story, I think. I think those tweets were just because to explain why she was in on the Asian tour. That's all I thought that was. In case that got out on social media. Oh, look, Asuka's being brought up. No, that's not happening. They just brought her, you know, to be there.
Of course. Little scouting trip. One of the GMs is smart. They're like, let's scout this Asuka. She might be pretty good. She's beating everybody.
The only general manager I'd have faith in is Daniel Bryan, because Kurt Angle can't run a show to save his life.
Daniel Bryan is behind the trends, though. I mean, he's taking reactionary measures against James Ellsworth, not proactive measures. I mean, come on, you do a Money in the Bank ladder match and you're just going to let James Ellsworth be out there. You should know better, Daniel.
Yeah,
you should know better.
Yes. Take control of your show. God's sake.
Take control of your show. Do it. Do it already. Let's talk about this Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. A big show coming up this weekend, this Sunday. Great Balls of Fire, the opening match. I guess they're doing it. They're doing not the tag team match we thought it might have been, not the Finn Balor match. In fact, we don't even have a Finn Balor match on this show yet, which is crazy to me. Crazy to me. Neville and Akira Tozawa, Cruiserweight Championship, is your kickoff show match happening here. Akira Tozawa, the Titus Worldwide, former Titus brand. This has been getting it. This has been getting TV time. It's on the up and up. You got Titus O'Neil coming out, cutting promos. You got Apollo Crews in main events on TV right now. Losing very easily, but still main events nonetheless. And Akira Tozawa, one of the top programs on Raw /205 Live. Neville Akira Tozawa. Is this the night where Neville finally loses?
I don't think so, but I think it depends on how much they're liking how much this Titus Worldwide is getting over. I have a strong feeling. I think Titus is going to end up being the commissioner of 205 Live. Just call me crazy on that one, because I think they're looking for an authority figure to run the show, and I think it's going to be Titus after his performance this week. So I could see something where Tozawa loses and then breaks off with the Titus brand, and then the Titus brand is just, oh, I'm just going to be a figurehead for corporate because they see something in me. But I don't think Tozawa wins here. I'd like him to win, but I don't think it's time yet.
I think he's the guy.
You do?
I think he's the guy.
I think you know what? If that happens, I think that's a positive for the Titus character, and may even help. It may even help Apollo somewhat after what happened on Monday. So I could see that.
I could see this being the transition. This is the transition to get this title, this Titus Worldwide thing going. On the flip side, though, if the Titus Worldwide thing gets going and Akira Tozawa is the champion, Neville is kind of just being another heel on. He's Brian Kendrick at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's
he won't be appearing all the time on Raw. He'll be on 205 Live. No one will really care. He'll become Brian Kendrick, what Brian Kendrick is doing. But I can also see this is the kickoff show. Do they do a title change on the kickoff show? There's a lot of different directions. I see this going either way. But I'm gonna pull for an Akira Tozawa win here because I want to see them take the next step with Titus Worldwide. Now, if Akira Tozawa remains a face and they really want to be a heel group with Titus Worldwide, because that's been wishy-washy. Like, sometimes they're baby faces, sometimes they're bad guys.
It feels like they're baby faces, though, now.
Because the crowd's getting into it. Like, it seems like they're just being made baby faces. It's like when the New Day started off as a heel group, and then they started doing funny things, and the crowd just kind of went with it, and all of a sudden they were baby faces. Not because they turned on anyone, not because they just started beating up the other type of guys. It was because the fans just liked them. This is what I think is going to happen with Titus Worldwide. They're just going to be liked. Crowd's just going to be like, hey, Titus Worldwide is here. Let's like them. And if that's the case, then Akira Tozawa as the babyface champion and them facing off on some different teams, that could be a cool thing. My heart says Akira. My gut says Neville. I'm torn. I'm going to go with the heart.
Okay, that's a foolish thing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Bad month to be telling me stuff like that.
I know.
It is the wrong month. Cesaro and Sheamus and the Hardy Boys. 30-minute Iron Man match for the tag team titles. I did not expect Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy to be working Iron Man matches when they came back to WWE.
No, not at all. And what, Sheamus is taking time off for a movie? I think one of the reasons why they don't put on Akira Tozawa is because the Hardy Boys may get these belts and do a short program with the Revival before Sheamus comes back. I think that's a distinct possibility.
How does that affect Akira Tozawa, though?
Because they don't want too many title changes on a minor show.
On a minor show? This is show Brock Lesnar's on, buddy.
Yeah.
This ain't no minor show. This is the most important show of all time. This is WWE's WrestleMania. If WrestleMania was a WWE pay-per-view, this would be it.
I think your logic is a bit off there, but I you know what? This is one of those ones where I don't really, either way, I can see it going either way, and probably just having the program continue in some way while Sheamus takes the time off to film the movie, which may only be a week or so. I mean, you know, it depends on how big its part is.
He wasn't that far off of TV when he was doing that Ninja Turtle movie. I don't feel like he was gone for a long time. Maybe he was. Maybe I didn't miss him. I mean, who's going to miss Sheamus?
No.
Anyone?
I agree.
Cesaro, maybe, because Cesaro's gotten the most TV time of his life here being Sheamus' tag team partner.
Who do you like?
I like the Hardy Boys. I like the Hardy Boys. You got a 30-minute Iron Man blow-off match here. I think they take it. Because I don't know what else. If Sheamus is going to be off of TV, that could be one reason for behind the scenes purposes why they put the Hardy Boys as the tag team champions. But you got the Revival. You got Anderson and Gallows. You got a lot more heel teams than it seems like they're going to push babyface teams. So to me, the Hardy Boys would go on and win it. And then you do the Revival, or you do Anderson and Gallows. You do somebody like that against the Hardy. Who are the other babyface tag teams? Because the Golden Truth broke up. And that's a match. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I mean, where the hell is Goldust versus Truth on this show? Like, they didn't really wrestle a whole match on Raw there. Where the hell is that match on the show?
Probably at the death spot.
Who am I missing too? Finn Balor. Finn Balor and the Hardys. That's right, the Drifter. Yeah, I didn't know if I expected
your boy,
that one. Yeah,
your boy Drifter. Elias Sampson. How can you forget Elias, your favorite wrestler next to Tino Sabatelli? Elias Sampson.
My favorite wrestler is kind of a bit of a stretch. Favorite wrestler.
You said it. You've said it here week after week, and I'll pull the tape.
I don't know if that's true, and I don't know also if you know how to pull the tape. So I'm gonna just go with it.
I have a new computer. I can pull the tape.
Oh my god, you can pull tape now?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna have to change the way I say a lot of things.
Yes, you know. I mean, you know, like ying hats and.
I don't know what you're talking about there. Anyway, The Miz versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship of North and South America, the Intercontinental title. Yeah, this is boring. The Miz is great. He is doing his best to keep Dean Ambrose interesting. I fear that Dean Ambrose is going to win this match, and I'm never going to want to watch Raw again, ever. The show may end because Dean Ambrose wins the IC title.
I don't think he wins the IC title, but I think he wins by DQ.
This is how Miz won the title, is it not?
Yes.
The stupid disqualification. Dean Ambrose has got to stop getting disqualified. Well, maybe they do the match again. You know, this time Miz gets DQ'd and they bring it back and like, oh, I lost the belt because I got DQ'd once.
Miz is getting DQ'd here and Dean wins because I think that the entourage probably interferes in some way. One way or another, the entourage is interfering and Dean Ambrose is either winning by DQ or it's going to be a weird distraction thing like Heath Slater this week.
Do they stretch this all the way? Because the next show is SummerSlam. Like, there ain't a lot in between now and SummerSlam. There's a whole lot of episodes of Raw. There's like 6 weeks of Raw before that show. But the next pay-per-view is SummerSlam. Are they going to give a spot on SummerSlam to The Miz and Dean Ambrose in a singles match?
Unless they move like Finn Balor onto The Miz.
Look at how stacked this Raw show is, and they don't have any of the SmackDown guys' matches on it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the next match, Enzo Amore and Big Cass, because I could do without that. Like, of all the matches to just be thrown away on Raw, Enzo Amore, Big Cass, is there a chance in hell this match goes more than 5 minutes?
No, I don't think so.
And that's why I don't think Brock and Joe is going to be a quick squash. Or a quick, like, just bulls going at it and someone gets a fluke victory. Because you're going to have a short match in the show, a really short match in Enzo and Cass. That's going to be the big squash. Cass is just going to completely kill Enzo. Because Enzo's charm isn't that he wins matches or is even that much respectable in the ring. It's that you just like the guy. So he can get destroyed here and you'll really hate Big Cass. So Big Cass wins in just, you know, I'm thinking 2.5 minutes, maybe not even.
Thought it was a good promo, at least until he came back and added the coda this week for Enzo. I really liked that. Let me throw this at you then. What is the percentage chance that Enzo gets some kind of schoolboy here and gets a quick fluke win?
Just to kind of show Cass that, hey, I was valuable and you shouldn't have left me like this.
Yes, but then he gets destroyed after the match. You know, he gets the boot in the face and thrown around and
I guess, but man, that wouldn't be like it because Big Cass, this isn't even an angle where Big Cass was like, he didn't really want to hurt Enzo. He just wanted to separate and he didn't know a better way to do it. Like Big Cass wants to destroy
Enzo. He didn't want to hurt Enzo. He threw him down a ramp.
No, that's what I'm saying. This isn't an angle like that where Big Cass is just the big partner who wants to go solo and he doesn't want to hurt Enzo. He wants to hurt Enzo.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that he's going to, if you go in with this gimmick where Big Cass is kind of like nonchalantly just brushing aside Enzo and not taking the match seriously, if I'm booking this one, Big Cass has to go in there and destroy him and isn't going to let any fluke at all. I would not book a fluke victory for Enzo here.
I agree, but the whole thing is Enzo hasn't gotten anything one up on Cass in this feud, and that's not a bad thing. I don't think he should either.
This isn't about Enzo versus Big Cass. This is a transition for Big Cass to become a superstar big-time heel because, God damn it, this guy is probably next for Roman Reigns because Braun Strowman and Roman can't go after this.
Was that you transitioning into your Vince?
God damn it. That was a horrible Vince impersonation. But yeah, I think Big Cass is a guy being set up for Roman if you're not doing John Cena and Roman or Brock and Roman at this SummerSlam.
And as great as Enzo's promo, at least the first part, was Enzo. And they go, how do you feel about being called a 7-foot catchphrase? He called me a 7-foot catchphrase? And then he says his new catchphrase. I just, that's pretty much big cast, but I think, yeah, it's an utter destruction.
Utter destruction. It has to be. There's nothing else you do for this match makes sense, but watch them do the Flick Victory. Watch them do
it. Yeah. Gosh, I think there's a 20% chance that happens.
Yeah. I hope not. What do you see for Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt? Cause this is another match. I mean, I'm bored by The Miz and Dean Ambrose. I'm not going to be interested in that match on the pay-per-view. I'm bored by Seth Rollins and Bray.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap we have to get through to get to our main events.
Neither of them are saying anything. I think it's going to be your standard upper mid card back and forth. And then this feud continues somehow. I don't know, man.
The weirdest part of that about this match to me is that I think we're going to get like an actual winner. I think we're going to get a regular, just someone pins a guy and that's it.
I think Seth wins. Neither of their promos have been anything. I mean, Seth is always talking about his past and I used to do bad things and now I don't. But it doesn't really resonate. And then, and Bray's gobbledygook, blue, 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 you know, just saying nothing. And I'm an agent to chaos and then no chaos.
No,
I think Seth goes over.
Have you been seeing what Luke Harper has been doing on Twitter?
It's Monday. You know what that means?
No, he's been changing it up a little bit. So he was in the SmackDown Battle Royal, right?
Yes.
And he was eliminated by Mojo Rawley, I believe.
Oh, I believe I had that. And I think Mojo's the one turning heel, by the way.
Oh, it was fairly obvious watching SmackDown that Mojo's going bad.
Yeah.
Fairly obvious. But anyway,
that wasn't going to happen, but okay.
Oh, who knew? I mean, you did.
I did.
Yeah,
I knew.
You did. I didn't think it would be already. I thought there would be a tag team for a little bit. No, they just, they're just moving right along. Yeah. Zack Ryder, welcome back. You're going to be the first to be destroyed by Mojo. And then, who knows? This battle royal happens and WWE tweets out that Mojo Rawley eliminated Connor and Luke Harper. Luke Harper eliminated Connor. Luke Harper has been going out on Instagram and going out on Twitter, kind of taking some, not necessarily shots, but making some criticisms of the WWE social media. Out there, the guy seems a little frustrated that he's not on television or not doing anything after the pretty big reactions he got heading into WrestleMania, like to the point where we thought, or at least I did, that he was going to be added to the Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania. And now he's nowhere to be found. And he's a big dude, and you could use a guy like that on the SmackDown show. Anything to Luke Harper maybe being frustrated with WWE right now?
I don't think so, because Luke Harper and this show have a mutual friend, and I've talked to him about some of the things. Apparently, Luke Harper has a very bone-dry sense of humor. So I think that's what this is. I think this is more just kind of ribbing rather than being frustrated.
Yeah, got to get credit for eliminating Connor, man.
Yeah.
Got to get that credit. If you don't take that credit, no one's going to give it to you.
Exactly. I mean, it's that kind of almost my dry sarcasm amped up a bit.
Yeah. Do you see what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Moving right along to Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, the Raw Women's Championship is on the line. This could be great. These two. There's some history here. Sasha Banks, not the biggest fan of Alexa Bliss dating back to their NXT days. Bliss, now the top dog, if you will, on she is the big dog on Raw.
Hold on.
No doubts about
it. Hold
on.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought Alexa wasn't a fan of Sasha because Sasha kept punching her in the face accidentally.
Well, yeah, but Sasha is not a fan of Alexa because of that, she kept punching Alexa in the face. Of course, Alexa's not a big fan of Sasha now. But hey, they're in the main event of this pay-per-view for the Raw Women's Championship. One of four main events, or one of three main events, really. Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, 12 to 15 minutes, probably. This is going to be one of those matches that gets some time, because the middle of this card, I guess you can give some time to Seth and Bray, and you're going to give time to Miz and Dean, but it's going to be a boring 30 to 40 minutes for those two. Enzo and Big Cass not getting time. Obviously, we have 30 minutes devoted to the tag team title match. If Alexa and Sasha don't get 15 minutes of TV time, it is a travesty. And Sasha Banks might be the one to end Alexa Bliss's reign here, because then you can transition to Nia Jax and Sasha, because after all, Nia Jax coming off of one hell of a performance on Raw 2 weeks ago, that's where I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see Sasha and Nia coming up here towards SummerSlam, or we can get a multi-women match. We can get Bayley put in there. We can get Nia. We can get Alexa and Sasha, maybe in a four-way at SummerSlam. What do you make of this match here? Who do you think is going to win, and where do they go from here?
I am really 50-50 on who wins here, because I can see a reason to keep it on Alexa and then to have just kind of Nia be the next one up against Alexa and finally kind of going after it. Or I could see them putting it on Sasha and then transitioning to Nia. But Nia is the goal here, isn't it? That's
yeah.
Given the last 2 weeks of story, Nia Jax is the goal for a big match for the title.
Yeah, but when does that happen? Does it happen super early? Does it happen in November for summer? Or what is the pay-per-view, Survivor Series? I mean, how long does it go? Because Nia Jax isn't getting the one-on-one match at WrestleMania unless she's the champion by then.
SummerSlam. I think SummerSlam may be the time where she gets a title. They may do a multi-person schmoz again, where you have, you know, Bayley, Sasha, Alexa, and Nia, and then Nia pins someone not involved in the match, or Bayley blows it for Sasha, so you set that up. I don't think it'll be one-on-one, and that's a shame.
SummerSlam's going to have to be a four-hour show again, right? With the whole, like, a couple of matches on the pre-show. It's going to have to be.
Yes. And with maybe even a two-hour pre-show with a couple of matches. Yeah. I'm thinking so. But I think Sasha wins the title here just as a transition.
Yeah, I would. I believe so. It has to. I think Nia Jax is, you're exactly right. That's where it's going. All right. We got our second main event, Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. The question I have for you, and the reason why I bring it up first, is because by all accounts, this should be the last match in the show. Do you think it will be the last match in the show, or do they close out again against all odds with a Roman Reigns match?
I think it depends if you think it's a long match or not.
I think it's going to be a long match, but I think Brock Lesnar is going to win. I don't see him losing the title to Samoa Joe. I think it'll be a long one. Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe both kind of heels at this point. I'm wondering, because I think Roman Reigns wins the ambulance match. I think it's one of those triumphant victories where he's just like, he's getting the hell beat out of him. But at the end of the day, there's no excuses. There's no questions. Roman Reigns is better than Braun. And I think they try to have the fans go home happy, in quotations, with a Roman Reigns victory. I question if Brock and Joe will actually be the closeout of the show. But I think it's going a long time. I do not believe it to be a quick match. That 30-minute Iron Man really throws things for a loop in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because if that goes late, they're going to be finding ways to cut time somewhere. And depending on its placement in the show, you know, it's either going to be the women or it's going to be Joe and Brock. So,
I mean, you have to have really short time for Enzo and Cass. It's not that long of a show either. There's 7 matches that are on the pay-per-view portion.
All they have to do is cut video packages, to be honest.
That's all they would have to do. But they're going to cut Alexa's time. They're going to cut Enzo's time, which is already going to be super short. They may cut the Roman Reigns Braun Strowman match to be a little bit shorter. But Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe. I think Brock Lesnar's holding the title down. This will be a performance that I think gets a lot more credibility behind Samoa Joe. He will be made. Like, this is Kevin Owens losing to John Cena twice. People will still respect Kevin Owens, and he's going to be a superstar to come. I think Samoa Joe makes it a showing. There's a lot of near falls where people will get into him and think Samoa Joe might actually get the victory. But at the end of the day, Brock and Roman is what they're doing for WrestleMania. So Brock has to keep this title.
I agree. I'm just not as sold as you are that it's going to be a long match. But I think the past couple weeks have changed their... I think the last couple weeks has changed their mind, and they are going to do something with Joe here. Okay. Let me posit this if I'm fantasy booking it. Let's say that it is a fairly long match, and let's say that Joe doesn't get pinned, but he gets, you know, it's that whole he gets submitted, but he doesn't tap type of thing to kind of protect him a bit in their minds.
It's just a pin?
No, a pin wouldn't do it. But like, say like a sleeper or a choke that chokes him out.
Yeah.
And he goes to sleep. And then somehow he has to be put into the ambulance. And that ends up being some kind of chicanery in the Roman match.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of one thing. I do think they have changed their mind that Joe's going to not get destroyed here. Let's put it that way. Because I thought that was going to be the original thing, that he was just going to get destroyed. But I think these promos and the way that these segments have gone, I don't think they're going to do that to him. But I think you're absolutely correct. It's one of those he's going to win while losing type thing. And I think it's going to be, you know, it might be a double turn in some ways. Because Joe's been being treated like the baby face here.
Oh, yeah.
Almost.
It seems like it. And he's the one going after him. People always like the aggressor sometimes, you know, especially when you're facing a guy like Brock Lesnar. Does Finn Balor play anything into this match or possibly the Roman Reigns-Braun Strowman match? Like, is Finn Balor going to be involved in the show at all? And will it be pretty important involvement?
I thought he was going to have a short match against the Drifter. And that would be it. Like even shorter than Enzo and Cass, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but adding another match, especially I don't know if they add that match to the main show on this,
it may not be a match. It may be another concert, and he may interrupt it.
That's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, Brock and Joe's going 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, ambulance match. Braun Strowman won their last battle. He was hurt. He was out for a little bit. He came back. It's only been a couple of months. He's going right after Roman because he's not finished with him yet. Ambulance match. By all accounts, you do the gimmicks here so that the mega babyface, Roman Reigns, the star of the company, doesn't have to really suffer a clean loss, a loss via pin or submission. That there can be some chicanery, there can be some different things that happen that cause Roman Reigns to lose. But I don't really see that as the place right now. I see Roman Reigns trying to get the big victory. So how does this all make sense if Roman Reigns is in this gimmick match to get a big victory?
I don't know either, because I think it's going to be one of those things like Nia in the gauntlet match, where at the end of the match they're going, but Braun something something, you know, Roman didn't really put him in the ambulance or something like that. It's going to be something to help Braun, but Braun still gets put in the ambulance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Oh, he slipped on a banana peel and slid all the way down the hall and into the ambulance. You know, like Roman ties him to a gurney so he can't get up and then ends up sliding him in. But I do think Roman Reigns gets the send off at the end of the pay-per-view.
Okay. That's your pay-per-view. What are you looking most forward to?
Most forward to?
Yeah. The biggest match in the show.
Joe.
It's gotta
Brock.
Gotta be.
And then after that, maybe Tozawa and Neville.
Okay. Tozawa and Neville. That's an interesting ending because it goes a lot of ways. Who's the Cruiserweight champion going to be? What are they going to do with Titus Worldwide? Is the crowd going to be into them? I mean, if they're the first match in the show, that's their best shot, obviously, for the crowd to be into it. And what do you do with Neville after that, if he were to actually lose? What do you do with Titus Worldwide? Does Akira Tozawa reject the group, like, fully? Does he reject them completely? And do we get, like, an Akira Tozawa-Apollo Crews feud, or does Titus Worldwide sign a different Cruiserweight, and that's your program? Like, the Titus Worldwide new Cruiserweight versus Akira Tozawa? A lot of different directions this thing could go. That is the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. Before we get into our next, I want to talk about Roderick Strong, Bobby Roode. I want to close out some polls. I did put your polls up, Jeff, on the Twitter feed, so people can go vote at Shake Them Ropes. Will WWE hold a second annual Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view? Right now, the voting is coming back no at 64%. Will they hold a second one? I had a reply here. Someone saying that Jerry Lawler said it will be a returning pay-per-view, and I just asked, but will it? Because who knows? Jerry Lawler can say a lot of things. We talked about it on this show, how Jerry Lawler said that he got it from Jerry Lee Lewis's lawyer about this pay-per-view name. And I'm like, that's a bullshit story. That didn't happen at all. So we'll see. We'll see if it's a second annual show. Another poll at Shake Them Ropes. Did WWE overstep by editing out the rap battle Xavier Woods rated R line from their YouTube clips of SmackDown so far. The percentages showing no as the leader at 52%. No, WWE did not overstep editing that out. Do you miss John Cena? John Cena is back. He returned on SmackDown. Do you miss John Cena? 62% of the audience said yes, they did miss John Cena. Well, fear not. He is back. And who was worse, Ted or Robin? 72% say Ted was worse.
What is that from?
This is a little argument I got into with the aforementioned LaToya Ferguson on Twitter. Yeah, I was, I retweeted a comment from someone about How I Met Your Mother and that Robin was the worst character. And I agreed with that. And LaToya came back at me. How could I say that anyone other than Ted was the worst character? So we got in a little bit of a tiff and the crowd is solidly behind her saying that Ted is the worst character on How I Met Your Mother. So
Trevor
I was defeated. He's the 10th.
Trevor Lee is the 9th entrant in the 2017 Battle of Los Angeles. The 10th entrant, Flash Morgan Webster.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Newer guy. I believe he's been doing Southern Indies of late.
I am behind the times on some of these indies because I did not know a couple of the names. Here are the names so far for the PWG Battle of Los Angeles coming in just over a month from now. Flamita, Keith Lee, Walter, Travis Banks, Ray Phoenix, Desmond Xavier, Donovan Dijak, Jeff Cobb, Trevor Lee, Flash Morgan Webster, and Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is not officially announced yet, but you know he's going to be in it.
Oh, and Trent will probably be always, in it.
I don't know. Trent may have other things going on. He's moving up to heavyweight.
Oh, yeah.
Moving up to heavyweight in the old New Japan Pro Graps. He is moving up to heavyweight. The Roppongi Vice tag team is no more, at least on New Japan. They might be in the U.S. independent scene tag team a couple of times. We'll see. Probably not. But Trent Beretta moving up to heavyweight. Roppongi Vice is over. Bigger news coming out of this weekend from the New Japan shows. Cody Rhodes is not the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. He lost to Kazuchika Okada. Hiroshi Tanahashi beat Billy Gunn on the show, and your new United States champion, another KO, Kenny Omega, is the New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP US champion, the first ever. So you have Kevin Owens as the WWE US champion and Kenny Omega as the IWGP US champion. Two KOs, both from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Coming in doing jobs that Americans won't. Actually not doing jobs, if you think about it.
That's true. Took me a second there. I did have to think about it. And that was a good one. Jeff, you should be a comedian.
I wish audiences thought that.
L-O-L. That's your PWG lineup. That's your New Japan. Anything else you wanted to talk about from that New Japan show?
Fun show. Great crowd. I hope they come back.
It was live on Access TV, by the way, guys. You could watch it on Access On Demand. You can get the Night 2 is coming this Friday on Access TV.
Yeah, in 2 days. Yeah, no. Night 2 I really liked quite a bit, too. There were some I talked about on this other cast that I did. But yeah, no, a very, very fun time. Show went by fairly quick live. I don't know how it was on TV. I heard that the commentary had a little bit to be desired, but
Jim Ross was
look, Cody Rhodes, I like Cody Rhodes as a character. I like what he does in his heel work. I just think it was a bit of a mistake to go straight to the indies, and he probably should have maybe taken a year and gone to the dojo to learn kind of a more fighting type of style because he's still very much wrestling his WWE style in New Japan.
Yeah, and you don't have to completely change your style. The Cody Rhodes match against against Kazuchika Okada was easily his best match that he's had that I've seen on the indies, better than the Chris Hero matches. That was his best match. And now you're going to say, of course, it was a main event. He was given a lot of time. It was Kazuchika Okada. I mean, of course he would have his best match. But you can go in there and see, like, if Billy Gunn was in that same match, it wouldn't have been as good. You still got to be good to make a match entertaining. And Cody Rhodes did that. It was interesting. Had some storyline in it with Kenny Omega, too. Now, that storyline seems to be at least over for the time being. Kenny Omega and Cody are on the same page again. But, yeah, it had a lot to it. And the crowd definitely liked it. And, you know, there was some talk that, you know, people thought Cody might actually win. Not too many. The overall majority pretty much knew that Kazuchika Okada was going to win. You weren't going to give Cody the title, and you weren't going to do it on the U.S. show, and you weren't going to do it when it wasn't a show that was on, I guess it was on New Japan World, but in the U.S. it aired on Access TV here. It just wasn't going to happen. And Cody wasn't in the G1. There was a lot of things going on with it, but.
This was Kenny Omega's weekend, though. Night one, the match against Elgin was spectacular. Night two, the Tomohiro Ishii match was fantastic.
Fantastic stuff. It's good. I'm going to watch that show on Friday. We're going to be getting the tournament matches, plus the Hiroshi Tanahashi Billy Gunn match, I believe, for the Intercontinental Championship. So that's, they're not going to show the whole show, but they're going to show the important bits, which is really all you need. What they will not be showing also on that show, though, is Ricochet. Ricochet appeared on night two in Los Angeles there. Not going to be on TV because this Lucha Underground underground contract forbids him from being on that TV show. But yeah, Ricochet, Lucha Underground, man. This show may not be surviving. We're starting to hear the talk again about the when are the next tapings going to happen? What's going on? Is Lucha Underground still going to be on TV? A lot of stuff going on here. Ricochet coming out now, making an appearance, you know, smacking Lucha Underground in front of the live crowd. Some unhappy people about Lucha Underground right now.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. I mean, Key was over. This Bullet Club gimmick seems to have a lot of fans because I don't think you could go two people without seeing a shirt for the Bullet Club in some way.
It was so sad. Yoshitatsu selling those Bullet Club Hunter shirts and people talking about no one was at that table. Because if the Bullet Club shirts are the most popular, who the hell's going to want to go out there and buy a Bullet Club Hunter t-shirt?
Yeah, it's kind of like buying a Sting t-shirt when the NWO shirts are the hottest, right? It's a shame you won't get to see Cody Rhodes then stall for 5 of the 10 minutes of that 8-man tag, which I enjoyed immensely for what it was. It wasn't the greatest match in the world, but it was Okada, Will Ospreay, and the Briscoes versus Japanese member of the Bullet Club that I can't remember his name right offhand, but I know it and I'll hear it in my head as soon as I sign off. Cody and Bad Luck Fale. And that was just 5 minutes of stalling and then a quick 5-minute match, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. And I liked the Briscoes. So that was cool.
There you go. The Briscoes. The US is the next territory for New Yujiro. Japan Pro Wrestling. We'll see what happens. Oh, Yujiro. Takahashi. he can go away. Who's more boring, Yujiro Takahashi or Dean Ambrose?
Wow. Are we doing Glow?
I think Yujiro is better, but I would not watch either one of them. I don't care about either one. Roderick Strong, Bobby Roode, what a fantastic match this was. Bobby Roode retaining the NXT championship. Oh man, the twists and turns on this one. Really thought Roderick Strong had it there a couple of times. What was your favorite spot in this match?
Keep thinking you're doing okay.
We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet
because we're taping during the NXT show.
We haven't seen it yet. I want to talk about Glow, but I need some water. My voice is starting to go. I will be right back.
So you call your fiance a glass of water. That's very interesting. Okay.
She is a tall glass of water. She is a tall glass of water. We are back. We are back on Shake Them Ropes. And it is time to talk about Glow, season one, a little tiny show on Netflix. We're going to talk about it. And we have a special guest in studio, Jeff, to talk about this show. It is my fiance Shayla. She's so nervous to talk about Glow. She's so nervous to talk about Glow. So Jeff, we have watched all 9 episodes. Not all 9. We've watched 9 of the 10 episodes of Glow. How far into it are you?
1.
You have watched only the first one. Okay.
Yes.
How did you stop? We watched 3 in the first night.
Yes, we did. We watched it.
You're a couple and you probably are enjoying it a little bit more than I am. I like it. I just, there's a couple things that bug me a little bit so far. And also I just don't like shows about show business, which is, you know, because I live out here in LA and I'm involved in it. But I think it's okay. The pilot was okay. It wasn't anything that made me want to go turn on the rest of the episodes immediately. But I think it's a fine show. I think it's a bit of a stretch to all the jokes at Alison Brie's expense about her looks. You know, it's Alison Brie, for God's sakes. You can't call her ugly and have me believe it. But it's a nice little show. I think the humor's a little too. I think it wrapped itself up a little bit too well in that first episode. What about you guys?
Maybe you have to get past it too.
Okay. That I can believe that too, because it just seemed very convenient. Oh, she is sleeping with the guy. Well, I don't want to spoil it. Or am I spoiling it here?
Spoilers. Okay. You're spoiling everything here. We haven't watched any of it, Jeff. No. And plus, we told everyone last week to watch this show. They hopefully should have by now. But if you haven't, Okay. Yes. It's wrapped up interestingly. I mean, that's the premise of the show, though. And there will be more episodes to come. You can kind of figure what's going to happen with the wife of the man that Alison Brie sleeps with in the first episode. But the first episode just got us in. It figured out, okay, Alison Brie is going to be your main star, and not main star of GLOW, not the actual promotion within this show, but you kind of figure out what they're going to do. You see who your main likable character is, and they're going to go from there. What I thought about the first episode is how quick it went by. I mean, it's a very quick show, 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah. No, it didn't drag. It did not drag at all. I liked that. From an LA struggling actor perspective, I've had the conversation with someone who has booked a show that's kind of trying to give you the pep talk, which is interesting. And also the anytime you're in something that's beneath someone with a theater degree, they always go back on how big of a thespian they are. So I've had the Alison Brie's in certain improv settings and whatnot kind of talking down to you, so I felt that before.
Yeah, you're too connected to it, but that's exactly what happened, and that doesn't stop, by the way, and I think it's funny every single time. So
yeah,
we're looking for a show to watch because, you know, Jane the Virgin ended, you know, we had to have a new show, and I'm like, hey, let's watch this GLOW show. I did not think she was gonna like it. I did not think you were gonna like it, Shay. Did not think so. What happened after we watched this first episode?
Oh, I demanded that we watch the next one.
Oh, yeah. No, we had to watch the next one and then the next one. And here we are.
Tell
we
me
are
why
nine
she
episodes
likes
in.
I want to hear why she likes it. I want to hear the positive part.
Well, I think entertainment value. And then it kind of helps me to understand a little bit more like why you're interested in wrestling. Because it's not something I really had exposure to before you.
Okay.
And I would say, just kind of seeing the background and some of what I sort of make fun of about wrestling, you know, like,
how dare you,
the personas that people put on, and
no, you know, should always make fun of
characters and kind of make fun of them themselves, and seeing that side of it.
Yeah, it's the other side. It's the other side.
No, that's actually great, because we also make fun of it here. So, I mean, it's not like we're a super serious about wrestling show in terms of our podcast. Rob, maybe I'm not.
No, I don't know if that's the case too. And we may have another special guest joining because our dog is coming down. Like, where's mommy and daddy? What are they doing in that room?
What did the dog think of GLOW? Okay, great. Yes.
Yeah, the dog kind of sits down and just lets us watch.
Alison Brie's great. I thought Kia Stevens really did well in the little bit I saw of her on this.
The welfare
thing. I'm actually
queen.
Looking forward to see how she does.
The welfare queen.
Oh, is that her? What's going to be
she's
her gimmick?
She's oh, you don't know this yet. That's not
I've
a spoiler,
only
really.
Seen one episode.
I know.
Rob.
She is in the show. She is the welfare queen. It is hilarious. She actually has some of the best like show stealing lines coming up in the show as the welfare queen. There's some good stuff coming up. If you've only watched the first episode, it gets better,
progressively better.
It is a funny show. It is a light watch. You don't have to think about it too hard. You can go back from it, but it's a show that we're going to want a season two to come from. And that's without even seeing the last episode yet. But you're going to have to keep watching the show, and we're going to talk about it one by one each episode.
Mark Maron's perfectly snarky. I like
he
that.
Is. Mark Maron is the promoter slash director.
Now here's another thing. I've never really watched How I Met Your Mother, except for like a couple of YouTube clips about the slap bit. That's the only thing I ever watch. I didn't watch Community either, for my own reasons that I could go into off the air, but I don't want to do it here. Is Alison Brie basically playing the same role that she did on Community, or is it kind of different?
Oh, it's way different than on Community. Oh, she is nowhere close to the same role in Community.
Okay, because
I
thought Alison Brie was basically playing Alison Brie. So it's
She's a down on her luck actress who's finally getting a role, and she's going to make the most of it because she hasn't been getting anything lately. So she's putting her all into it. It is
all right.
This show, some of the best scenes are the most cringeworthy scenes. Mm-hmm. When Alison Brie starts going into actress mode and starts telling about all the crappy plays she's been in, when she starts talking about like all the classes. I can't remember if it was in the first episode. I don't think it is, but where she's in like a improv acting class She is absolutely devastated with how no one is paying attention to her and people are falling asleep as she tries to say her lines. Like, this is the best part of my week and no one pays attention to me here. And then she goes in to watch Hulk Hogan tapes and tries to become a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tone of the show reminded me very much of the British version of The Office in terms of that cringeworthy, a little bit too real on the button type of humor that you go, it's funny, but there's an air of truth here that's very, very squirm worthy as well. So I like that. It's going to be fine to watch it. That's why I don't binge watch it. That's probably why I can't binge watch cringe type humor shows.
We probably, that first night when we watched the first three was probably the most we watched at one time, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We could probably do more. We wanted to spread it out because it is only 10 episodes. It goes by very quick. Shayla, who is your favorite wrestler? Who is it?
How do you say his name?
Shitstain Nakamura is her favorite wrestler.
When I first heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, what are you watching?
Right.
Like,
what is this guy's name? Saying?
Repetitively on television. I was like, that can't possibly be right.
Yeah. This is how crazy it's gotten too, because Friday night we were just talking about the New Japan show that was on Access TV. Guess who watched that with me? Kind of. She did.
Yes. It's making it a lot harder to read now because normally I read while he's watching this.
Reading's good. Rob's not much.
Focus a little bit more on what's on the TV.
Yeah, she's got to focus more. Oh, this is what Shayla called the New Japan Pro Wrestling the day after we watched it. She's like, what was that you were watching? It wasn't WWE. It was a bunch of tall, hot Asian men wrestling.
It just didn't align with what I'd seen previously.
It did not align.
But on the other hand, it also passes the, if she walks into the room, are you going to try and hide what you're watching test a little bit better than WWE does, which just, there are some segments where I go, I am lucky I live alone. That's
yes, I feel like today when we were watching, I was like, enough is enough.
Enough is
melodrama.
Enough. Yeah.
So proper.
But don't take him away from me.
Alison Brie, by the way, gets naked in episode one. So for those who are just all into that.
Well, and no one wears bras.
No bras.
I can't get over that fact. I think.
Yeah, no bras.
Half the episode, actually, I'm like, is she wearing a bra now? Finally.
The moment I knew it was a little bit too real was that first aerobics class where I'm like, yeah, that's 1984, 1985 right there in a nutshell. Yep. Bright colors dancing to Sylvester in an aerobics class.
The attire's great, the entire show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's wonderful to watch every episode.
All right, so we're going to WrestleMania next year, right?
In New Orleans.